views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Radio, CRN Digital Talk Radio, and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and creativity. That's right. Every Wednesday on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, authors, and speakers helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. You can find out more at thelucidplanet.com, and you can now stream all of our podcasts for free anytime on lucidplanetradio.com, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and SoundCloud. You just have to search for Lucid Planet Radio. Please connect with me on Facebook and Twitter as well at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. Here at Lucid Planet Radio, we are very pleased to announce that we are now streaming live on CRN Digital Talk, bringing us to over 11 million homes in the U.S. and over 100 countries, including 25 stations just in Australia. That is amazing. If you want to find out how to become an advertising partner of the show or find out how to listen live in your area, or book me for your next speaking event. I'm doing a lot of stuff this summer. We'll talk about that a little later. Just visit thelucidplanet.com. All right. Now, shameless plugs out of the side. I just want to introduce today's show. And today's show is really interesting. It's about taking a step back and reflecting upon who we are, where we have come from, and where we are going. In other words, this show is about understanding the collective journey of what it means to be human. And I think that our listeners out there would definitely agree that we live in some very strange and very interesting times. Some say these are the most exciting times in human history, where we can 3D print organs and we can communicate via virtual reality. And, you know, maybe we can soon upload our consciousness to some kind of mega computer and live forever. Other people say this is the worst time in history, economic disadvantage and inequality, war, poverty, and our planet heading towards its kind of sixth extinction age is really what scientists are saying. So how do we make sense of all of this, this crazy world we're living in? Well, one of the ways we do this is psychologically we create stories or narratives that use symbols and archetypes to help us describe and kind of make sense of our lives and our role on the planet. And so for today's show, you know, what are the stories we create about ourselves and our world and each other? How do these stories shape our future? How are the archetypes and symbols we use really to reflect our collective consciousness? How are they shifting? And what does this teach us about ourselves? And what does the collective human narrative tell us about what it means to be human, and how is this narrative evolving? So these are some pretty big kind of thought type questions. It's always nice really to sit back and kind of have context about our lives. And to explore these questions, I am very thrilled to welcome Maya Zuckerman to the show. Maya is a multi-platform producer, a story architect, and a culture hacker. And her work bridges the intersection where storytelling meets technology. She has worked in film and animation, video games, interactive and new emerging media like virtual reality. And in the past few years, she has been focusing on emerging subcultures, media startups, transformational festivals, and clean tech. Essentially, Maya has been watching and weaving what narrative is emerging from them all. So I'm really excited. Let's please welcome Maya to the show. Hi, Maya.
Hi, Kelly. I'm so excited and honored to be on your show.
It's wonderful to have you here, and your voice sounds beautiful and amazing.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on. I guess I just want to start with what got you interested in the power of narrative and the power of storytelling?
Well, I'm human to start, and humans tell stories all the time. Whether we're consuming it on media or actually creating a little story to ourselves with each interaction and each communication we are doing, right? Absolutely. So I've always, you know, as a kid, I always wanted to be a writer. I mean, that was like really what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I didn't do that. You know, I stopped and I started working in film and animation, which is telling stories. And that got me, you know, thinking last few years, because where I started was as a kid, I loved mythology. I loved these big overarching.
Yeah,
those myths that get you, they get you excited. They're all amazing. And I was very lucky that I was brought up in Israel, and I had a very unique perspective on narrative because I was very affected by non-mainstream media for a long time. And that helped shape me kind of as a little bit of an outlier outsider into myth. And one of the things that I started noticing, especially moving to the States almost 13 years ago, is the lack of diversity in narrative. And it really started kind of having that connection, bridging to some of the narratives and stories that I loved as a kid and how those voices are almost not heard of in American media. And especially working in Hollywood, working in the game industry as well, those narratives never appeared. And that started that whole internal storytelling conversation of, well, I'm not seeing it out there. Maybe I should start considering writing or thinking or talking about it. So this is what started me on a journey, my own protagonist journey. And I'm not going to use hero for very specific reasons. to see what's going on, what's missing, what doesn't really feel right. And it's more of an internal conversation. And then I started externalizing it in conversations with a few people, especially two of them, Jeff Gomez of Starlight Runner and Joe Brewer of the Center for Culture Evolution, who's a culture designer. Coolest title ever.
Now, what does one do as a culture designer, can I just ask?
You design culture.
I love that.
It's beyond that. It's really looking at what makes culture ticks. What are the memes and framing and reframing that needs to happen as we're evolving, evolutionary culture. How do we evolve culture from where we were to where we're going? So these conversations started leading me into, well, I'm seeing this pattern emerging, but I don't know how to even talk about it. And I've talked to a lot of people and they're seeing this pattern emerge. And how do you even look at a pattern, which is much more of an ecosystem, a network, and download it and kind of make it linear for people to understand? Because that's the issue when we see these really big ideas. How do you synthesize them, right? Mm-hmm. And that led me to start writing about it. And I started from 35,000 feet. I was like, what will actually be on? I started beyond the stratosphere. I'm like, well, let's look at the collective journey. And then realizing very, very quickly that that's too big. We got to start in the beginning because that's what good stories are. And just a little bit about story versus narrative. And the jury's still out. I go with my friend and amazing human being, John Hagel, who's the head of the president of the Deloitte Center for the Edge, who talks about story as a more finite cube of storytelling. You know, it's got a beginning, middle, and end. Sure. And a narrative is a, you know, overarching arc of stories and ideas and themes and cultures that are over time developing and are open-ended.
Can I jump in and just ask, and how is that different from a meta narrative?
Oh, okay. So this is the stratosphere conversation. Yep. So do we want to jump there? I can jump out of space because that's
we're going to go to the break in like 2 minutes. So maybe we'll stay in the stratosphere for right now and we can jump when we come back.
That sounds good because it's a big one.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, I always hear them both banded around, and I know people are always asking questions. And but yeah, let's talk a little bit more about coming up with the narrative before we go to the break.
Yeah. So, you know, just very quickly, one of the things that I, and this is how I wrote these five articles for Huffington Post as a beginning of this is research around this.
Yes. You can download those Huffington Post. Awesome articles. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. And it is a sequence where I started with, well, we know about the hero's journey and that's the beginning. So we start there, but we actually need to evolve from there. And, you know, next break, after the break, I can actually talk a little bit about more of that. And then we actually move into the gender journey, which is more about all the genders. And then we look at who are these evolved archetypes who are in these new stories. And then we actually graduated to the collective journey, which actually starts with the meta narrative, which is this like stratospheric conversation, or actually far away from Earth conversation, back into, and then back landing on Earth again. So, you know, that is a sequence that I created. And, you know, when I talked to my wonderful mentors and supporters, they said, yes, you know, this feels right. And it is a sequence. It is, we got to start from what we know and then build on top of it so we can actually evolve.
Yes. Just quickly before we get into the break, if this is a quick one, let me just say it. I feel like people can benefit from looking at the world in this perspective. Don't you agree, Maya, from kind of taking that step away and understanding who we are in our cultural context?
Yeah, I agree. We all need a little bit of the overview effect, you know?
Yes, it's really easy to get sucked into the tiny little stuff and the minutiae and get really stressed out. And sometimes I love just taking a step back, even all the way back, and jumping out of the universe into a different universe. It's just a good feeling. So on that note, you're listening to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Maya Zuckerman and I are going to explore humanity's evolving collective narrative. So stay with us, and we'll see you in a couple minutes. What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
1230 WBLQ.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is Maya Zuckerman, who is talking with us about the evolution of the collective story of humanity. But before we continue, Maya, I just want to make sure that everyone knows how to contact you to find out more about your writing, your book projects, all this great media stuff you're working on.
Yeah, definitely. Pretty easy. Just put in mayazuckerman.com. mayazuckerman.com. And you'll find me, and I've got everything, all my links, all my social links. It's all there.
Bam. And of course, that's where you can also find her 5-part series that was written originally for Huffington Post, but I've seen it in other places too.
Yeah, it's if you look at the collective journey, you can either do links directly to those posts or download an ebook that has all 5. And also Cosmos Journal with the K just published a 3,000 word piece of basically editing down the 5 articles into one really, really lovely article. So, yeah, it's starting to circulate, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. And here we are getting it out there, too, like perfect timing. So I guess before we left for the break, we were talking about the narrative of humanity and kind of seeing it from a bird's eye view, seeing humanity. And it seems like a lot of what's in your work, Maya, is about the evolution, that our story about ourselves is changing. What has happened that our story is changing in this way?
Well, a few things have been happening. A, we've been kind of stuck on the hero's journey in mass media and, of course, stuck in the more masculine story in the last few thousand years, especially through Judeo-Christian narratives. Yeah. But I say actually all religious narratives are very male-oriented, very male-focused. And, you know, if you look at the world, that's not the reality. The reality, we're extremely diverse human beings. Actually, there think a little bit more females than males on Earth. And of course, there are others.
Majority domination.
there are others. Yes. There's not only male, female. There's this spectrum of these different genders. Where are their stories? And their stories are so hidden, so small. So only now they're starting to actually be on the surface. So that's one thing is, you know, we need to move away or evolve from the hero's journey. And it's not saying we got to leave the hero's journey. No, there's this time and place for the hero's journey. It's called adolescence. Yes. And then you grow up and you can still have, you know, Knight of the Dark Soul and all of that. That can be, you know, a hero's journey kind of formula. Yes, it's still needed. But the issue happens when that's the only formula. That's the only thing that is out there. And if you look at mass media, really, you can actually see that it's either that or the 3-act story, and that is it. And even in multiplayer online gaming, it's still the quest, the war. You know, it's all about that. There are other stories. This is not all we do. And there is epicness in doing other things. So that was one of my conversations and also looking at what is happening to humanity. 2 big things that I actually point to in the Collective Journey article about what happened to us, what is really happening, is there are 2 moments that happened to us in the last less than 100 years. Our technology, which enables me to have this amazing conversation with you sitting in my home office. I mean, it's amazing, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So this connectivity, the you know, I can also talk to what you know, maybe my specific government calls an enemy, air quote, because and I can talk to them anywhere around the world, of course, if their government permits it. So that actually is breaking everything. So the barriers are breaking, the boundaries are breaking. But one of the big things that really happened to us, and we were born into this already, you and I, and some people have, you know, older people have actually seen that movement between one narrative to the other, is when we actually saw the full globe. I mean, there was Earth rise before 1968. By 1972, the full view of the Earth globe, seeing ourselves from the outside, that changes everything. And we
I was just going to say, unless the flat earth theory is true and it's all lies. Sorry,
no way.
Yeah, that's a topic for another show. And exactly. If you are a flat earther out there, I welcome you to get in contact with the show, because there is a lot of people talking about this. And like, I'm all about keeping an open mind and discussing stuff. But yes, I am a believer that the earth is round, and that earth rise is a unifier for all of us. There's no nation states when you're looking at earth rise, right? There's no colors. There's no countries. There's just us, the one humanity and the people of earth. And I completely agree that we've seen in the last kind of 30 to 50 years, even maybe a little bit less, this kind of reimagining and reawakening of us as one species working together that we kind of had lost beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. And also, we had stories for how we interact on a tribal level, and that was, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. And then we had this new narrative for building civilizations and emerging civilizations. We don't have a narrative for the collective. It's different because of technology. It's different also because in the tribe, it was very specific. You know, there were hunters and gatherers and, you know, all of that, right? We're changing. We don't have to be hunter-gatherers. Not all of us, of course, us in what we call the first world. We're becoming self-actualized. Our archetypes are changing. So there hasn't been a mythology for the new world. It's starting a little bit. There's some little, little heroes here and there. And as I mentioned, that I'm trying to stay away from the conversation of hero, because I see it as a part of the drama triangle, which is the triangle of hero, savior, persecutor, and victim, where instead of being empowered, you're trying to save somebody. So, you know, of course, sometimes you got to save somebody. Somebody's drowning. You got to go and save them. But if we're always waiting for a hero to save us, we are disempowered to basically take control of the situation and support and empower the whole community to do good. And that
is so true. Sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to point out, go back and watch the movies you grew up with, like especially like cartoons, Disney movies, all these like action movies. It's all the same. There's a hero on a quest, and usually the women are especially disempowered that they need to be rescued by a man because they don't know what they're doing. I grew up with these, and I always felt like there was something very inauthentic about all of these stories, but couldn't quite put my finger on it, and didn't really have any other option. It's a very interesting point. That's a very limited perspective of a wide range of human outcomes and experiences. Sorry to jump in on.
Oh yeah, completely. This is so true. And as I said, you know, I had the wonderful childhood of having some other voices, more European voices, more you know, out there voices as part of my narrative. And not only, you know, Hollywood. So that was very helpful, because when approaching this project and approaching my own science fiction project, I really looked at that, because, you know, there are other stories. And it can be, as I said before, they can be epic. It doesn't need to be the same formula. And, you know, as we move forward, including the voices of the others, makes it so much more interesting. And also giving us different archetypes, and not only sticking to the hero paradigm. And as I said, you know, sticking to the hero's paradigm means you're either a persecutor or a victim, because somebody's about to either save you or kill you. Mm-hmm. That's not empowering. That's disempowering. And what I'm looking for, and in the patterns that are emerging, is this voice of the collective that's not about a hero saving everybody. It's about the collective coming together and acknowledging that everybody has their own genius, their own personal gift, that when they work together within a collective, emerges something bigger and better and and higher.
You talk about stewards and champions as some of the new archetypes that kind of arise out of the collective. What are stewards and champions?
So the stewards slash empath and champions is more of an example of instead of it being the lone protagonist, starting to have much more of, and it's happening in television, it's been around, you know, body cups and all that, right? But it's more about a new paradigm where the champion could have been what we call the hero, is somebody stronger, somebody that has money, power, superpowers, whatever it is, that is not trying to be the savior of it all. They actually do something that is so not like what we're used to. They go behind the curtain and support the empath, the steward, on their journey. And the steward empaths are the ones with the vision and the empathy to bring a vision that and hold a vision that's bigger for the whole community. And the champion can bring all of their power, money, resources to support that vision instead of taking control over it, commanding it, and taking all the credit. Because it's not about credit anymore. It's about what works for the collective and the individuals, what works for the world. And that's a very different reframing of where archetypes can actually start coming together and where these evolved archetypes can come forward.
I love this. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Maya Zuckerman and I are going to talk more about what these new archetypes mean for the collective and for the future. And we're also going to touch upon the places and spaces where these are already emerging. So stay with us on Lucid Planet Radio, and we'll be right back.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack, but that was all he missed, and he ain't coming back. He headed to the Stone Bar in a gin joint car. He made a stop just long enough to grab a
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Are you and your family looking for one manageable lifestyle change that will positively impact your health? Look no further. That change begins inside your drinking glass. Learn how to put a lid on junk drinking by sipping from a recipe collection of colorful, fresh, tasty, wholesome fruit and vegetable blends. Get your copy now of Sip the Garden. Fun, easy drinks for a healthier family by T. Carey Mitchell. Visit lifestyle120.com for information on how to order.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I have Maya Zuckerman here talking about the emerging new collective narrative for humanity. Maya, when we left off before the last break, we were talking about how these new archetypes of the collective are emerging. Archetypes like the steward, the empath, champions that really aren't part of the hero's journey, and we don't see them in our traditional mainstream media, and yet they're kind of emerging organically in our lives. And, you know, you and I are big fans of the transformational festival scene and all of these alternative spaces. And I just wanted to ask you, Maya, your thoughts on kind of what are the spaces where these collective archetypes are just starting to emerge for us to experience?
Well, they're starting to emerge in so many places. I mean, one of the things, you know, even before we go into what are the spaces, is that really acknowledge the fact that the collective journey is not a singular narrative. It's not a circle. It's a convergence of many voices, genders, ethnicities, ages, opinions, you know, coming together in a nonlinear fashion. And we can actually glimpse into these experiences through these sub and counterculture cultures around the world. And, you know, Burning Man as part of it, all these transformational festivals, Lucidity, LIB, Symbiosis, I'm going to go to Boom this year. All of them these patterns. Some startup cultures, mostly around social entrepreneurship and impact investing and all of that, the maker movement, hacker spaces, you know, management models, whether you like it or not, of holacracy, massive multiplayer online games, cosplay, and the list goes on. I mean, we can even say that the Occupy movement and the movement behind Bernie Sanders is also a glimpse to that collective. You know, and, you know, a little shameless collective plug, Reinhabiting the Village is a book really talks about this collective idea, this co-creating our future. And it was written by over 50 authors coming together under 9 months to create this amazing, gorgeous book. So, you know, it appears, it's the patterns are appearing and this emergence is appearing all the time.
I think what you're saying is reminding me of something from psychology where we talk about all the different levels of identity that a person has. And I guess my question for you is, we have our personal identity, and then we have our identity within the collective, and then we have the identity of the collective. How do we kind of evolve and weave all of these narratives together?
So, you know, there's two things. A, there's something that is happening to us because of technology, which is referred to as kind of superpositioning, like the idea from quantum mechanics, where a particle can be at the same time at the same place. So we're creating this identity where we're our own personal self and we're part of the collective. It's not an or. And what is happening to us, and many have talked about it, and there's even Sense8 that even kind of brings that metaphor to the next level, the TV show by the Wachowski sisters,
I've been told to watch that. Graham St. John actually was on and he told me that I have to watch that. Thank you for reminding. Is that on how can people Netflix. Watch Sense8? Netflix? Awesome.
Netflix. Cool. Yeah, it's amazing. Go watch it.
Right on. Thank you.
So, yeah, and what's happening is that we're kind of having the superpositioning between who we are by ourselves and how we really superposition to this collective and this online presence and all of that. And the emergence of that is this new other thing called an interbeing, where when we're one with that collective, we cease to be only ourselves, and we can become something else. But we can do this all the time, where we're myself interbeing, that's a superpositioning, two beings at the same place, right? Sorry, in different places at the same time. Mm-hmm. And this metaphor is also, we're moving away from the, you know, hero's journey, and we're really coming of age. Like the collective journey is a metaphor for humanity's rise from adolescence to adulthood. So as a collective, we're much more mature, because we're not only seeing what I need as a, you know, as a teenager and younger, it's all about me. No, this is all about, I need to see my needs getting, you know, dealt with, because if I'm sick, then the collective is going to hurt, but the collective also has to see that I'm okay. So it's this two-way street of bringing everybody up, but it's much more about this maturity.
And when do you think this whole interbeing started? Is it because of technology?
Yes. Yeah. I really think it's a technology hand in hand with seeing ourselves from outside, but that's technology, because we broke all the barriers of time and space. We can talk to each other everywhere. We're beyond our cities, beyond our homes. We can having these conversations globally, and that actually changes how we operate. And that kind of leads into, you know, this idea of a meta narrative, which
we started talking about at the beginning. It's time.
It's time. So I'm going to tell a story, because this is the only way I can tell the meta narrative. Cool. And we have to go forward in time to this time in the future. And we imagine the scenario where we made the first contact as a civilization with intelligent life form, an alien intelligent life form. And then you, Kelly, you get to be the one human that's going to go over and say hi.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So I'm so down.
Right?
We can go together. It can be like,
okay, okay.
Be a field trip. Okay, cool.
So anyway, what's the story you're going to tell them? Like, who is humanity? You know, how do you take a whole planet and a whole existence and synthesize them into, like, you know, just a few sentences? And the meta narrative can be viewed as a synthesis of all these stories, the experiences, the histories, the ideas, the beliefs, religions, art of all of humanity. And that, you know, when you come over and talk to that alien race, you say, you know, I speak for the Earth and I speak for humanity, and you'd be clear about what that is. I don't think we have a narrative like that right now.
No, this reminding me of Contact, by the way, where I'm hoping it's far enough in the future that I will just be able to, like, touch their brain and download my thoughts into their head. Because, yeah, that's a really, really difficult story. I mean, how do we even begin to kind of come up with that meta narrative? And yet at the same time, you know, I've had guests on the show. I'm thinking about, you know, Mitch Schultz. I had him back last year, and he's coming on again at the end of the summer. But, you know, this idea of, actually, not only can we articulate the meta narrative, but we can write our own meta narrative right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the patterns that are emerging are all part of it. And one of the things that, you know, you and I love about transformational culture and festivals is that inclusiveness and the honor. You know, we're not culture appropriating, we're culture honoring and bringing it into this collective. And, you know, some people might, you know, depending on what the symbol is, some people say, oh, this is culture appropriation. But at some points, if people are actually respectful of the culture they're bringing into their clothes and being and practice, and know where it came from, and have respect for its elders and respect for its ancestry, but bring it into their everyday 21st century lives and converge it with everything else that they're doing, that's a whole new story, right? That's where the meta narrative starts weaving.
You're opening up a whole nother can of worms that I wish we had time to talk about, but I completely agree. At what point have we all kind of borrowed each other's cultures? And at what point have we kind of all learned from each other in that way? And at what point is it, like you said, is it offensive or is it an honor if you're doing it out of respect?
Exactly.
That's a really interesting question. Yeah, it's a really interesting question. So we have like 2-3 minutes until we go to our second to last break. Maya, what do you think, and maybe this is like totally out of line to ask because it's so complicated, but what do you think is our meta narrative? Are there a couple words or themes? Obviously, the collective is very important. What else do you think kind of plays into that?
I think our basic humanness, and I'm actually writing an article about grief, and grief is one of those things that we all share. Yeah. Grief and love, those juxtaposition of these two powerful energies and powerful emotions. And really, if you look at humanity right now, we either are grieving or in love. We either love or we are grieving. And I think hate is part of fear, but yeah. Grief and love is like this bigger, things that keep us together because we love each other, and we grieve when our loved ones are taken away. So that is like something that starts bubbling up for me, because otherwise we're so complex. So how do we synthesize? This is a synthesization of humanity.
Totally. Well, I mean, it feels like right alongside with that, the search for meaning that we have, mm-hmm. That we're trying to make sense of our world and make sense of ourselves. And those really are, I think, two of the key emotions and experiences that everybody shares that come up with that. That being said, we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we are going to wrap up the show with Maya Zuckerman here on Lucid Planet Radio by talking about what are the possibilities and probabilities for our future of what this is all going to look like. So stick with us, and we'll see you after the break. Achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience launching in April. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Are you and your family looking for one manageable lifestyle change that will positively impact your health? Look no further. That change begins inside your drinking glass. Learn how to put a lid on junk drinking by sipping from a recipe collection of colorful, fresh, tasty, wholesome fruit and vegetable blends. Get your copy now of Sip the Garden. Fun, easy drinks for a healthier family by T. Carrie Mitchell. Visit lifestyle120.com for information on how to order.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And I am your host, Dr. Kelly, here with Maya Zuckerman. And if you are just joining us, we have been talking for the last hour about the future of the collective human narrative. It's been so interesting. Thank you, Maya. It's been really good.
Thank you.
I want to ask you about the future. You have a story called M's Theory that you use to describe the collective and your view of the future. And I want to know, and I'm sure our listeners also would be curious, why M and who is the collective that she is a part of?
So thank you. So M's Theory is a multi-platform story world. So it is going to be on different media channel. We're actually starting it on a comic book, but I'm also writing the trilogy. And the first book is written kind of heroine's journey. The second is more of a gender journey. And the third will be written as a collective journey. And why and who is M? M is an empath living in a near future of San Francisco. And she's a physicist. She's a young woman. She's multi-ethnic, probably around 9 ethnicities. And she starts having these two, and she's an empath. And she starts having these two really opposing and weird phenomena. One of them is dreaming, lucid dreaming of these ancient cultures, especially one culture. And the other one is starting to basically full body time jump to probable futures of the Earth around the, you know, circa 2800. And looking at these probable futures from the utopia to the dystopia and all these different tropes and flavors in between. With the idea that we create our own reality. So we have the power here and now to start moving towards a timeline, a future that works for all beings and all people. And one of the things that she discovers, because as I'm writing on about the collective journey, of course, I'm going to start with one protagonist, and then all of a sudden we're going to burst out and see that she's not the only one. Mm-hmm. She's part of a collective called the Nine, and each of them has a connection through lucid dreaming to their own ancient cultures. I have 9 different ancient cultures. And they all travel through time to look at these other probabilities of a timeline for Earth. And they're global. So I have, you know, multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-gender casts from all around the world. And her journey is to find the others like her and learn how do they become a collective.
I love this. This is like the Hunger Games meets Divergent meets Lord of the Rings for, you know, us in transformational culture of the future. I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's very strong shamanic themes here and other ancient cultures that are, you know, working with symbiology and master plans as part of the kind of mentorship. If you look at the hero's journey, meet the mentor. The mentor is our past. You know, our work is in the present so we can actually birth the future. So the idea of finding the others and really connecting. And of course, we have an antagonist, which is based on a pamphlet by the amazing group, therules.org, called Are We Living in a One-Party Planet? So the OPP, the One-Party Planet, is a secret shadow government who wishes to control humanity's future and, you know, lead it to a dark one. And they're made out of all the rich 1% families and governments, excuse me. And basically they are trying to get her and get humanity through their timeline. And the big battle of our times is between which timeline do we want to actually go to? And as a collective,
very relevant.
And the metaphor of the Nine, you know, because of course it's the Nine is 7 is all of us, but the Nine, each one have their own, you know, unique genius. But when they come together as a collective, then everything clicks. And then that's when a really good timeline or more a timeline that works for all, you know. So utopia actually is not a timeline that works for all. It works for some. We need to find somewhere where if I want to lead and I'm a CEO, what would be a timeline where I can actually still do that without hurting the earth and others? So, you know, we got to include the others, right? So, yeah, so that's the idea of the what I call the stellar culture, which is also based on some theories, aligned very much with Gene Roddenberry's visions of the future. But, you know, that's kind of where I see the Nine leading us to.
Very quickly, what are the probable futures, and which one, in your opinion, do you think is the most probable?
Well, they move from, as I said, utopia and dystopia. So the utopian culture, the woman power culture, the ascension, where we, some of us go beyond our bodies and some of us are corporeal, we still are in our body, the alien reign, the ministry of mind, which is the OPPs, the one party planet's future, where they control all of our minds, after the flood, which is, when we didn't do anything about climate change and kind of regressed into this kind of indigenous culture of working the land and speaking in a new language, no humans, very, very simply, we eradicated ourselves. And the singularity is here, which is very much man versus machine, AI taking over, pretty dark future. So those are the nine, ones. And of course, the stellar culture, which is kind of the culture that I'm hoping to lead us to in the story.
I love that. And so I asked all of my guests this question. Are you an optimist? Do you think that the collective future is a bright one, or is it more of a dark and scary one?
I am an optimist because I'm part of and you are too, of the 250 million culture creatives. And we have the power to change our futures and create our reality. And now we're meeting each other in these times to bring these realities forward. And if we don't, if we don't share these stories and support each other, it's not going to happen. So my optimism comes from realism, and it comes from,
I love that. That's grounding. You know, I think my optimism came from the unicorns and the fairies. I'm not totally sure, but I mean, I'm completely with you. There's a lot of work to do. But at the same time, there's a lot of people doing the work, and not one of us can take the whole responsibility on our shoulders. We just do what we can, and we contribute the gifts that we have, and we trust that those other gifts will also be contributed by the people who can. And, you know, I genuinely believe that I'm very partial to the idea of reincarnation. And this is, again, top for another show, but I don't think I came all the way here just to watch it all burn for no point. You know, I feel like, gosh, if we all came all the way here, look at all the amazing things we can do. I mean, you're in San Francisco, I'm in Denver. The show is being broadcasted out of New York and it's being streamed live in Australia. And it's like a miracle, right? Yeah. Clearly, you know, we still have a choice. And the fact that we're able to have dialogues like this, I think, is incredibly important because it allows us, we need to really think consciously about, you know, our future and where it's going. This is great. My last question, Maya, again, and we have like 2 minutes left, I apologize. How can people rewrite their own personal narratives to make it more part of the collective?
Well, they're doing it, but I think also being kind to yourself, doing your work, doing your internal work, looking inside, clearing the cobwebs, sitting and dancing with your shadows and demons, and because only when you dance with your shadows can you dance with your light. So doing that inner work, so you're ready to do that outer work with the rest of the world, because we're waiting for you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. That's so inspiring. We're all waiting for you. And if you're not sure, if you're out there listening and you're like, I don't have anything to offer, that's not true. You do. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're hearing this, we're just here to activate you and help you remember who you are and what you have to offer, because every single person matters. I truly, truly believe we are like 7 billion puzzle pieces all fitting together to create something amazing. And it's going to be a beautiful future because we're here doing the work. And if you want to hear more about that, I've had some really cool shows on meditation, and there's more stuff and all kinds of good psychology stuff coming up in the future. But all that aside, that's really all we have time for. I want to thank my guest, Maya Zuckerman. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
It's been great to have you. And also, we want to thank everyone for tuning in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I always have the best time. And you can join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain and 2 p.m. Pacific, and find out much more about us at thelucidplanet.com, and also contact me personally on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. Don't forget, you can stream all the podcasts on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and lucidplanetradio.com, where I have my archives. And next week, speaking of like this whole future of humanity and stuff, I am really stoked to welcome Dr. Stephen Greer to the show. He is one of the world's most well-known ufologists and the producer of the film Sirius. And he is here to speak about UFO disclosure, free energy, and his brand new film and book project, Unacknowledged, an expose of the greatest secrets in human history. So light and love, and I will see you next week. Bye now.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.